Hello, and thanks for joining us on our series of conversations, New Life. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan. And we would like to begin a series of conversations on a new topic. And we've consulted many of the people watching our show. What interests them? What would they like to hear Dr. Lightman speak about? And we've reached one non-surprising answer, that the theme that most interests people, and maybe not only today, is money. Today, the theme of money comes to people's consciousness in a very vivid way. We're in times of economical, financial difficulties. Life becomes very costly. People who have money, people who don't have money, people who would like to have money, everyone. The issue of money is one of the most interesting issues, and I would like to begin with a series of conversations where we will open up this box called money. We'll enter an imaginary room called money, and we'll start out there. We, with your help, we would like to learn some kind of a new attitude, new approach to this whole theme. We have prepared a very broad variety of questions, and I'll let Nitza open and Amos focus us, but I'd like us to enter this situation from a clean slate, very realistic, very focused, and we'll get into it. Nitza. So, our first show, we would like to dedicate it to some kind of a general review. And why a general review about money and its meanings? Because we know that when we cope with a certain issue and we are struggling, and we have to check what are the roots of the problems, and only from there can we start looking for a solution. Really, I'm not an economist, and I'm not an expert in finance or in the economical different systems and money and about economy in general. There are plenty of books written. There are experts that get Nobel Prizes, and what's interesting is that nonetheless, they're constantly wrong. Those that get the prizes turn out to be wrong. And about money and the history of money and where did it come from and the phases it went through and so on. Money is a human matter. Because really, there is a home, there is sex, there is family. There is an area in which a person lives, his relatives, his acquaintances. All of this animals have as well. Animals don't have money. That a person started living, prospering with the help or off others, buying and selling, came into a relationship with others, this turned him into a human being. Before that, people worked with each other only forcefully, meaning I'm stronger, I come to you, I take what I need, if necessary I kill you, and that's it, like it happens with animals. The money is not power, it's the power of money, it's not physical force. This is the human force, that there could be someone who's old and weak, but he has a lot of money, and then it means that he has lots of power, like a person who has a gun in his hand, compared to some bully who is 200 kilograms and he can take down a wall, but someone with a small gun can cope with him. So here we have the matter of the brain, the development, that are in struggle, let's say, with our animalistic force. And here, this already depends on how a person attains the money, this force. It's interesting that he can fill himself with this force by different fulfillments. Pleasure, let's say, in general. It could be anything. Food, sex, family, money makes money itself, and honor, and knowledge, and in short, everything that there is in the world he can buy. And we see that in the modern world, it's even more conspicuous. Food and sex and family. If I don't have that, I can't attain it and build. And the money itself makes money, percents at the bank, interest and so on. Control. Honor, of course, obviously. I buy everything. The media is mine. That's it. It all depends on how much you pay. And knowledge as well. Even if I don't have money, I can't learn in some university. And if I have good money, any university in the world will take me, and so on. So we see that it's a means to achieve anything in the world. And it's a very practical means, very small. It's fluent. I don't have to, you know, walk around with containers or whatever. I take a plastic card in my pocket, not even dollars or something, but one credit card, and it's enough to be covered all over the world and whatever I say. By the way, covered, kesef in Hebrew, comes from the word kisufa, to cover something, meaning that I can cover any desire I have. Suppose my desire is this cup, I can cover it to the very top by money. This is the definition of money. Covers, fulfills, give you the possibility of attaining whatever you need, fulfilling any of your desires. If so, it's truly a godly force. What is there besides desire? And therefore, it's good that humanity discovers these things and eventually comes to that, even though that in human values we have values that are greater than money. I'm ready to give money for power, to pay for control, dominion. I'm ready to pay money for honor. I'm ready to pay a lot of money for in order not to be ashamed, or in order not to be shamed. There are things that I appreciate greater than money, food. I exchange money for something. Money itself is only a symbol of force, of power, but not money for money. Even though that it turns so out that we wanted to always have some on the side and as much as we can and so on, but that is already our ego, our fears, our anxieties. Actually, what's good about money for a realistic person is what can he buy with it? And not in numbers and the zeros that I have in the bank. And there are things that I can't buy myself. But I buy people. Wisdom. Okay, so I can't buy wisdom. Even if I have time. I'm not bright from nature, meaning there are things in nature that don't come to a person. And you can also buy them with money by buying people who have such qualities. I can buy someone to write a book, and there, on that book will be my name. I can buy a painter, he'll paint something really, and it will be either my portrait or even I'll write down my name. Everything's possible to buy with money. Besides those traits that I don't get from birth, from above. But really, obviously, that this compensation is justified. Running for it, wanting to control it. It's very, when we think about our children, about our grandchildren, we first of all think, what can we cover them with? How can we cover them from all the problems and the troubles of the world? Money, because how else can you help? And so we see from one generation to the next throughout the history of humanity, that is man's concern. This is what you can say, besides maybe something special, which is called faith or destiny, an upper force where we see that nonetheless we're in a world where suddenly different things happen that I can't anticipate, that happen different incidents of life and death that I don't really control. So people, they have invented different inventions that by money I can buy for myself the understanding of the future. So I see that on television, we don't have news without having at the end something about astrology or something like that. People buy for themselves. First of all, they pay with money for different insurance plans, because it also comes from fear. Health insurance, life insurance, insurance as much as you can. I have maybe something left about life and death. I can't do anything about that. So I also have insurance for the old people's home or and so on. So in short, a good place in the cemetery costs lots of money, I know. I paid for my father. May he rest in peace. Not here in Israel, overseas. And so on. Meaning a person, besides the case of death, and also with respect to death, you know, how much he donates to different companies and so on. He wants to clean himself. He wants to buy like an insurance policy for the future. Insurance for the future. After death. But who knows, you continue there like some pharaoh that takes with him his gold, his money, all his slaves, servants, and they're being buried together with him. The same way it's with us. We want to take with us as much as we can, the maximum that we can, to pass through this border between life and death. Take it across the border. And to this day, there is no substitute. And what's interesting is that we came to a generation, the first generation, where I see that it is also the last generation, in terms that they start disrespecting money. It's now for 30, 40, 50 years already. In the 60s of the last century, it started with the flower children and different such movements. The hippies, in short. They start disrespecting wealth, but they want to be happy from other things. They want to be internally happy and not by having to work and run and suppress others and to climb on their heads in order to acquire the money and to control forcefully the force of the dominion of money over each and everything. I want to enjoy, I want to fill myself by something that does not, is not a part of this. I don't want to fill myself this way. Not that it's hard or not hard, but this attitude itself, you're fed up with it, really. And so we see people that are in a generation that even though they need money, but they oppose it. meaning as if on the inside they don't agree that this is how we're supposed to live. I have desires, right? It's all in all a desire. I like this cup. Many desires, but it's one desire. It's a desire to enjoy, a desire for pleasure. I want to reach these pleasures, not by this hard life where I constantly have to work in order to achieve money. And competition, hatred, envy, lust, honor, control, whatever I'm in, however I'm at, different things. I have to work all life long, and all life long I have to be in competition with everyone. I have to examine the banks, the percentage, what's going on with the stock exchange. I don't want this kind of a world, because it's all in all my desire to enjoy. Each to enjoy what he enjoys. Why do I have to be in such a competition? Why do I have to run so hard in order to fill the simplest things? How much people suffered in order to come to this understanding, attitude? And this started about 50 years ago, especially in Europe. And of course, it's as if a light tendency within a person, a light inclination, and they try to work nonetheless and acquire that very money. But the number of the suppressed, the depressed, is so vast, according to the use of antidepressive substances and despair and so on, it seems that it is up to half of humanity. That is the numbers that it's reaching, and that people don't want to have a family, and they don't care where will they work. They don't want to go to universities. The profession lately also loses its importance, its weight, because there are no steady professions. That I studied for 5 years, and now I have a profession for life, and so on. Today, there's no such thing as a profession for life. If you're not studying all the time, if you're not competing with time, then you have nothing, because even though that you finished university, it only gave you the possibility to understand what it says in the books, but the books, they constantly change, and you have to constantly understand something new in advance. I mean, a person doesn't feel... He feels that he left the competition, that he did not leave the competition, even when he has a good job, a good position, and so on. There's hard work everywhere. And they don't agree with that. Our ego, even though it wants to rest, it doesn't agree with being under pressure, tension, self-suppression that I have to all the time. And when something for myself, only by having the ability to cover different abilities and also the needs to cover for these needs. And these needs aren't mine. Also, what is it with money? What do I need money for? If I have only basic needs, suppose I would not have received anything from the environment, from its values, then I don't have to drive and fly, and I don't need exalted matters. I need a wife, a few children, and something, you know, livelihood. Whatever we need. And for this, I don't need to run around and to regularly be, and, you know, I can be a herdsman in some village. It doesn't matter. Therefore, it's not a problem of money, but it's the problem of the environment that gives us such values that you have to, where's your self-respect? You have to be great, you have to be rich, you have to have the ability to cover for the needs that we will tell you what is it that you need. So I actually need to go to work, first of all. I have to constantly study and go to work and run around and compete in order to later on achieve goals that society points at and says, you need this, you need this, you need that. Then I'm constantly running around in order to make money, in order to buy, and make money in order to buy. And I'm all the time in this craziness. So there's a limit, and a person, he becomes despaired. And if we calculate what is it that we need for our desires, we ourselves for our desires, then we would have been satisfied by very little. And we wouldn't have had big artificial deficiencies that are given to me from all around, and then I wouldn't have been suffering that much that I don't have this and this and this and that. And only a small part of this, of all this craziness that I have to attain, I would have to attain. And then the matter of money, it decreases in importance. But there is the matter of the ego, and the people with a big ego want everyone to do what they want, and because of the honor and money that they want to earn off us, and this is how they control the world. The truth is that no one's satisfied, because the poor, he is not happy as a result of being poor, and the rich, he is not happy because besides money, he doesn't have anything, because even though after he has money, lots of money, what does he have to cover? Because when I already have the possibility, the opportunity for everything, my desire is lost. That's the problem. My desire for all of these things is lost, because the deficiency can be only for the things that I can't cover. And then when I finally succeed and cover it, I'm satisfied. Like with food. Who's most satisfied from the food? The one who's hungry, and not someone who has this whole big table before him and he has, I don't know, a bad stomach, or he doesn't have appetite, or someone suppose destroyed my mood. So we see the rich, they eat little, they don't really have pleasure from the food. The poor, they eat a lot, and they have pleasure from the food. Meaning the more a person, the richer the person is, the more he suffers from what is he about to cover. Because to begin with, he doesn't have the deficiency and the pleasure from buying and covering. So they invent different things for me to have a yacht 10 meters more than he has. And he has Van Gogh, and he has some Leonardo da Vinci, and I don't have anything. So I have to achieve that as well. Meaning they invent different deficiencies for themselves in competition, pride, control, to at least have something to live off, because a person can't live without deficiency and fulfillment, without the feeling that he fills something up inside himself. Therefore, the poor are more successful here in certain things, to some extent more than the rich. It's not that money is solution for everything, but then we come to an understanding that there is some kind of a psychological problem here. That if I have a deficiency that I can cover through exertion, and this deficiency pulls me forward, and I work for it in order to finally reach a pleasure that shines from afar, I'm glad then. Meaning here there has to be the building of a deficiency, the building of the cover for pleasure and the exertion for the pleasure. It's like I love someone, suppose. You can see it on a boy and girl. Suppose how much he really craves and yearns to meet her and hug her and how what a beacon of light that is for him in life, how much he's ready to exert himself, and how both of them wait, and all these romances. This is a very good example for a deficiency and its cover. So if immediately now they'll get their meeting, tasteless. That's clear to us. So it's not in vain that we invent different, spicy food before you eat, and go take a stroll, drink some alcohol or something. It's even said that if you don't have, if you're not hungry, if you don't have an appetite, better not eat. It's like poison for your body. The body really has to be hungry and then digest the food and get all the necessary things for its health and so on. Meaning there is a problem here. It's not the matter of money, but it's about how do you use it. And here, unfortunately, humanity, we don't see that they can use it correctly. And therefore, the problem is not about money, but pleasure. How do we give a person pleasure? Because money is only cover for that desire, that by covering the desire, I feel pleasure. A means to feel in that deficiency pleasure. So first of all, let's think the following. What deficiencies should a person have for him to be able to fill them up, that it will always be something that he can attain, and by filling himself with it, he'll feel himself complete. If we say that man's deficiencies, besides his basic needs, like with an animal, to give the body what it needs, like a baby. A baby's crying. What does the baby need? A bottle. So, if besides these basic needs that we need for our body, like 2,000 calories a day, and we need some kind of food and mixed something to have the different right ingredients for the healthy body and so on. All the rest comes to us from the environment, that the environment gives us different deficiencies, and it's not that we need them. I, as a child, look at the grown-ups and learn from them. What do they need, want? What do they do? And by that, I fill myself up with different tools, deficiencies, and the means as to how to achieve that, fulfill myself. So were we to live completely independently of our environment and would have raised our kids however we really want to, suppose on some deserted island, so we would have shown them a simple way of living, and then they would have been happy with what there is. And it's not that they would have had less pleasure, but the deficiency would have been for different natural things, closer to nature, closer to the family, to a man's body, and so on. And relatively easily we could have filled these needs and these desires and live without tension and without crisis, tragedies, big tragedies in life, and so on. Meaning the problem is, what deficiencies, what goals does a person get from the environment that later on he keeps on living in depression, that he can't fill these things? We see that depression today, half of humanity have depression. And therefore, the question whether to be happy is not in that I have to achieve many things and lots of money, but the thing to be happy is, can I erase from myself the different desires, goals that really come to me from the environment in an artificial way that only stimulate me, as a result of which I'm envious, and therefore I am excited for what the other has. If we can give a person some kind of an ability to balance himself, balance his desires, then maybe suddenly we'll get people that are happy with what they have and they don't need the great big things, and they don't need all those things that the world is no longer capable of providing us with, and with the ever-growing unemployment, and who knows in general how it's going to turn out. So we have to give a person small deficiencies for him to be able to be satisfied with a normal life close to his nature, and see how do we provide him really with basic needs. Because those that take to the streets with the riots, give us work, give us something, it's not that they're really hungry for bread, but we, as if we have influenced them as a human society, and we have grown in them great big desires. They understand that a person that works, he has to get, has to be paid enough in order to go on vacation in Europe, have special things at home, and so on and so forth. Again, to come down to a normal life, so Earth will be able to provide us with, and not for us to deplete it, and that nothing will be left for our children, and at least our grandchildren. So for this generation, we need for them to somehow participate in the work, the normal deficiencies that they can cover. Human society is in a crisis where they're no longer capable of covering these things. We think that we're in some kind of economical crisis, financial crisis. We are in other kind of crisis. We are in an ideological crisis. We have developed artificial desires that a man he needs, and suddenly we can't provide them with these needs. And so we print money, and more money, and minus, 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 but it doesn't cover anything. And so it follows that here, we as if have to make some kind of a calculation in terms of what do we do? Because if our goal is to see people who are happy, then they'll simply have wars, and who knows what's going to happen in each and every country, like we see that's starting to happen right now. From Libya and on, continuing through the Middle East, and who knows where else will it go. We have to calculate so we really have to use the power of money to be able to cover that it's not the paper, not what's in the bank, but how do we cover, provide for man's basic needs? So on the one hand, we have to educate a person and bring all of his needs down to normal for it really to be something that we can cover and not for him to demand, you know, great things. And on the other hand, we have to see how will we arrange economy for it to be able to cover all these things, and how do we arrange education, first of all, moving a person to the rational needs, and also how will we fill all of man's free time that we can provide him with work. A person doesn't take to the streets because he wants to work. He wants to earn money. If we can provide him with work, in order to provide him with the money, we have to provide him with fulfillment, a cover. So we suddenly discover that there is a big problem. There is nothing that we can do with that person. First of all, he used to work. He used to consume. what he did and what others did, and by that he filled the bank accounts with of the rich, of the bosses, today when he'll no longer work. And there will be nothing, no income from him, no nice income to the tycoons. What do you do with that person then? Well, okay, they think that then they'll make a world war and so on and so forth. But suppose, really, after all, what we need here is that for there really not, for there not to be great calamities to get rid of hundreds of millions of people, if not billions. So we need to give, and as quickly as possible, the method for balance, the method for explaining. How do we cover the desires, the current desires that we bring to rational desires? We cover a man's time and pleasures of leisure. It's not leisure where he will simply fill himself up, but leisure time, it means that he will be connected to a system that is a manufacturing system, but it is the manufacturing system of the new human being, meaning the educational system, that a person, what he has to do himself, of his own. He has to make out of himself a new kind of, he has to use himself in a new way, that he'll have a positive force for himself and for human society, like once it was so that he needed some kind of product. We also now need some kind of product from him. And we need his right kind of participation in his work on himself. If in the past he was working different external things, now he has to work internally. He himself is the substance, the matter to work with, and inside himself he has to make the image of a man, and this is the work, the upper, the higher, the special and unique work. And in this work he has money, a cover for all of his desires, which is called the masach, suppose, doesn't matter how you call it. But it's on the same principle that his special forces that he acquires through the environment, he balances himself to be the right part of the environment. Like previously we taught him how to be the correct part in manufacturing things, buying things, using things, where all in all someone benefited from it. Now too, we teach him how to create the right part of society, how to be a beneficial part in society, to make himself the right part for the Lego, as a cogwheel, and become an integral part, to come in as an integral part into society. And by that, he creates, and from the environment that he influences, both the close and the distant, he creates some kind of a system, a corrected system. And this corrected system, it gives everyone abundance, fulfillment, cover. Meaning a person makes money, he makes the cover for all of the deficiencies, for the whole of humanity. And this is how it is with everyone. This is what people will work with in the new economy. in attaining money, the cover, the new screens over the balanced desires, the corporeal balance, rational desires, and higher desires, also the higher spiritual desires that will be opened in them, and so they will advance. This is a bit about the matter of money. Maybe before we continue and focus on the problems that a person experiences today with all of the emotional problems and all that it creates, and maybe later on we'll elaborate about the solution, something that has to do with the past, because while you explain, obviously, that there was a purpose for this money. It didn't simply come to the world. There was a purpose for this money, a purpose, a goal that influenced our development, and our development influenced money. I don't understand what you're saying. I'm sorry. Money, meaning the ability to cover for desires. So, meaning there is the substance of the world is deficiency, 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 and deficiency, and we all the time have to cover and cover and cover that deficiency. So money, the moment the world was created, you already have a deficiency, and over it you have a cover. So it's like it's the cover of the deficiency. So we used for a certain period of history green, blue, coin, gold coins, or there was gold powder, it doesn't matter. We used to cover by this our deficiencies, and now as well we continue the same way. And now there is a kind of let's say criticism that we make over our ability to cover for the deficiencies. We see that our deficiencies, we can't cover them, both because of the ecology, Earth can't take us the way we are, so wild. We have created too many artificial deficiencies that there is no need for. And therefore, it can't provide us with everyone having a yacht, everyone being in control, and factories and whatnot. Eventually, we then reach a point where there will be nothing. Let's put it this way. Now, it's similar to some kind of someone who has a field, and got from it yield, and he ate everything instead of leaving a part and sowing again and getting something next year again. He didn't do it, but he ate for the future, and next year he dies, he starves to death. Same with us. We do not use all of what Earth gives us, and air and everything, to an extent to which it can reconstruct itself, restore itself, but we already eat from the future. We see this with many of our, with all that we have. We see the response from nature and climate and so on, and also in the human system and what we came to. And all of our monetary system and so on, the way we've consumed all the natural resources and so on. We can't continue this way. Therefore, we're making a revision. We're examining everything. And after this examination, we start seeing that we have reached some kind of bad final terminal game. And we have to exchange it for something else. We have to play with something less threatening, something less dangerous, and not to eat, consume our future. And in agriculture, it's well known. How many seeds do we have to leave in order to plant it for next year, and how much should we bring to the baker in order to turn it into bread? Then here, we don't really see what is it that we have to do. And now comes the time of criticism. And let's hope that we will be able to make the right calculation. Otherwise, nature will teach us through blows. But eventually, the cover. This is what we need. And covering the new world after the crisis, it has to be that we cover for the rational needs of a person. And all the rest, we develop, all the rest that we develop are desires for the most exalted desires that belong to the human level, desires that he can fill by connection with others, that a person can't live without developing the deficiencies. The deficiencies that we develop for the corporeal need, for the corporeal needs, it's not that we have a few more planets Earth that we can do anything we feel like. That every family will have a planet Earth, and great. But even not that. I immediately look at the Earth of the others. How is his planet Earth and his? Meaning we'll never be satisfied with these things. And therefore, we will never reach a fulfillment, a cover. Therefore, and I will never be able to manufacture the money that is sufficient in order to cover for the deficiencies. Therefore, these things, they have to be closed in a form that nature obligates us. It's that Earth necessitates us to stop ourselves in some way. 7 billion people, they need so-and-so many needs, Earth says, in order for me not to suffer from them and for them not to destroy me as the for the infrastructure to sustain their life. This is on the one hand. But a person, he can't live without the development of the deficiencies. And we talked about deficiencies. He gets them when he is small and starts growing and looks at the elderly and at the older, at the grown-ups, and he sees what they have and what fulfills them. Meaning he gets deficiencies from the environment. So if we arrange such an environment that will give us deficiency, but they will not be materialistic, then we will all the time be in a deficiency and fulfillment. And we'll have an advancement and the outburst. And it's a kind of attraction to something and hope and the pleasure from achieving something and suffering from not being able to achieve something. We will not remain as animals. But for it to be in an area where we can all the time develop deficiencies without endangering our corporeal life, and for these deficiencies for us to be able to cover them, we will need money, but money in terms of kesef, meaning kisuf, meaning a cover, meaning a masach, a screen. What kind of deficiencies can we develop that will be endless? So it says, there is a very special sentence about this, that part interpreted spiritually and part corporeally. It says, go and provide for yourselves off each other, by each other, meaning that we can form, develop new deficiencies that will come out of the different forms of connection between us, where the new forms of connection between us will bring new deficiencies between us, where we are like in a Lego, in a puzzle. We will all the time make these new forms, such and such and such and such, new deficiencies, that we will be able to every time fulfill together, that they will be conclusive, including, composed of many deficiencies, many particular deficiencies, we will also have to fill them up this way, and then this life will be like a game that we play together in the creation of deficiencies and the creation of fulfillments. And among 7 billion people, there is an infinite variety of possibilities, and I will never fall into despair because always I have the possibility to be hungry again and to be fulfilled again. Hungry and fulfilled, satiated, and each time in a different style. And what I get, the fulfillments that I get from this, these are exalted, higher fulfillments that explain to me who are we, what are we. We're getting into inner layers, hidden layers. We start feeling through the connection between us what's happening inside us. And this is actually the real pleasure that a person is born out of these inner layers, and therefore by attaining them, he gets the true fulfillment that really fills him up. And then his connection with others in order to achieve these fulfillments, this is called the true money that throughout history we reach, discover this mutual screen by which we really cover all of our deficiencies. So actually, this whole process that we went through throughout the whole of history, its purpose, its goal was actually to lead us to the point where we are today, that we're close to day two, in which we start discovering what real money is. True. Without the whole of history, we couldn't have depicted for ourselves what do we really need. What is really our true development? First of all, we have to go through all of these phases and discovering evil and against it to make good. And when we build the right kind of connection between people in order to create the new right deficiencies, common mutual deficiencies, and to know how to cover them, we build this nonetheless atop our entire history, where we learn from there what not to do. We learn from the opposite. So the entire crisis and hardship that a person experiences in life in our days, it stems from that we at some point reached the end, and this point that we've learned how to behave towards it throughout the history, and we've educated our children due to that point and so on, and suddenly it's about to change. That's the point of birth. Yes, that's the point of the new birth. It's a place where we want to develop, see how a person feels it, and maybe from there build a new attitude. You used on your explanations today deficiency. What exactly do you mean by that? Deficiency and fulfillment? It's the sense of life. If there is no deficiency, a person doesn't feel himself. Doesn't. Our entire body, lacking and fulfilled in each and every organ, in all systems, completing each other, constantly being in plus, minus, minus, plus, all the time are in notion. The notion can be only in lacking in one place and there being surplus in another place, and filling each other up, and one filling the other, and go and provide from each other throughout the whole of reality. And therefore the deficiency and the fulfillment, or the deficiency for pleasure, it is the basis of life. Without that, there's no movement. Without movement, there's no life. In the still, in the vegetative, in the animate, in the electrons and molecules and plants absorbing and emitting, and the living and in everything. And man, in his movement, it returns to the root. What we can see is how we came out from some place, the small deficiency, and we've developed up to the Big Bang, and we've developed from the Big Bang in the still on Earth, then the vegetative, then the living, then the speaking, and now we're actually returning to understand what is it at our root, the place where the deficiency was created. Now we've developed a great deficiency. A person wants to swallow up Earth altogether. Where do we have astronomy from? The development of space technology and so on. Why? Because people want to know, want to understand, want to swallow. And then when we come to the great deficiencies, and also in materialism we come to these great deficiencies, we come to the final development, our materialistic development. Why? What does it come from? And therefore I have a calculation here on behalf of nature that necessitates me to this development, for me to examine how really now, for the very first time throughout my evolution, the evolution of matter, the very first time that I ask myself, what really is the development that I went through, the deficiency of the development of the deficiency of the desire and how to fill it? What continuity of life do I have now? Because my entire development throughout life, the still, vegetative, animate, and the speaking, it is in a greater deficiency, more sophisticated, complicated deficiency, how to absorb more and emit more. How do I connect more with nature? See the still, how independent of nature it is. Barely, it is, but barely. How the vegetative depends and relies on its environment, how it has the heat and the cold, and the living level roams in order to find a better environment. And man, he depends on the whole of the planet and on others and so on. An animal knows only what's in its forest. A man, he has to eventually know what's all over Earth, the whole population, everything. What next? Where are we developing? Into what realm? Into which places? If the desires, they have to be greater. And greater not only in extent, but in quality. Where are we developing? Where are we headed? We can't stand still. But that now I feel a crisis. It's a crisis in these deficiencies being able, that they've exhausted themselves. Like in the past, the still exhausted itself, came out the vegetative. Vegetative exhausted itself, living. Living exhausts itself. Where to now? Where am I born into now? What am I born into now? And this is the point in history in which we are at the moment. And it's clear to us that the current desires, they have to be on even a higher level. Like from the living came man. What now with man? Where to? What's the next step that we have to grow into? Now, undoubtedly, that we can't work with a previous deficiency, that they have proven themselves to be a complete failure. And it's clear to us that this is the process of birth that we're in. It's this kind of an evolution. Where to? What degree? This is the question now. Can we help our birth? Can we ease this whole transition, see where we're going? Not to be erased like dinosaurs and then be born again in some form. Is there an easier transition? One sentence, because our time is up. What money do you see in this new form? I don't know. It's not the money. I don't even know the new deficiencies and their cover. Of course not, correspondingly. I don't know both, but it has to be a new level. Like the difference between the deficiencies of the animalistic level and man's, and man, the human part in us compared to the animalistic one. But obviously we develop into the levels of man. We have to rise to that level, to completely disconnect from the animalistic level, to give it what it needs and let go from matter, to move on to spirit. From matter to spirit, our time is up. Thank you, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll continue. Be with us. All the best.